All right, the reading this morning is, Matthew 6, 5 to 15. I knew that. Okay. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
Thanks, Erica. You got a little bit extra there? That's all right. That's good. Okay, let's pray before we start talking again about prayer. Father, we do want to turn our hearts and our minds to you and ask that you would speak to us today. Help us to grow into being more and more a prayerful people, people who love you in prayer. So help us. Amen. So, how would you rate your prayer life? How would you rate your prayer life? This is where we're up to. We've been talking about prayer for a number of weeks, haven't we? I think this is week 7, it says, doesn't it? Oh, it did say 7. We've got another week next week. And then the week after that, the last one where we're really focusing on that. And that's when Carolyn Altman's coming to kind of do those things with us. So I thought, this is a good time. Let's stop. And I'll ask you, how do you rate your prayer life? And you might remember when we did that listening forum, those of us that were here, do you remember how we got up and we stood in different places? I was thinking, we could do that. I could, you know, you could stand up here if you, like, pray for an hour a day, and maybe about here where Rob is, if you pray, you know, more like 10 minutes a day. And over here, if you pray maybe 10 minutes a week. And over there, actually, let's not think about that one. That's best not to. So, are you ready? No. Look, I was tempted, but then I thought, COVID has saved you. We can't. I wouldn't have done it anyway, because then you would have all seen where I have to stand. And maybe some of you would have felt the same way. Maybe not such a good idea, that one. Look, I mean, that's the thing about prayer, isn't it? Of all the things, of all the challenges we could say about prayer, don't you think that could be the big one, the big challenge? Actually just doing it? Do you think? Just doing it. So what is our story there? Why do we struggle so much to really pray? We know it's super important. We want to be, most of us really want to be people who are praying people, but we don't do it. Now, there's a bunch of reasons, I think, that we could consider, but I'm going to give you one that I want you to think about this morning. Are you ready? It doesn't work. Prayer doesn't work. I feel a bit naughty saying that. I'm waiting to be struck down, but just bear with me, right? And forget about trying to be all spiritual for a minute. Let's just be honest, right? Because the truth is, prayer doesn't work, does it? Have you ever prayed for something and it didn't happen? Right? Sometimes they say that if God doesn't give us what we ask for, it's because it's not his will. And I know Jim mentioned this last week, and I agree with what he said. But, you know, really, why bother praying at all if he's only going to do things that his will anyway? Or, you know, and are you really prepared to say that all those unanswered prayers aren't his will anyway? What about, I mean, you can think of examples. What about the prayer for a dying child or for someone to come to faith? You're going to say that that's not God's will? That's why it wasn't answered? Is that what's going on there? I'm reminded of that old line. It's another one of those ones, you know. Why doesn't God answer prayer? Well, he does. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says, just got to wait. Yeah. I mean, it's a great line, and I'll be honest, I agree with it. But you can see why some might say, that's a bit of a cop-out too, can't you? Let me put it to you like this. Think about some unanswered prayer that you've had. If God had answered that prayer, do you think you might just be a little bit more motivated as a prayer? Like if we knew that if we prayed for something that God would do it, if we knew that, do you think we might pray a bit more? I mean, we might, mightn't we? If we knew, if we really knew. So maybe this is the problem, right? Maybe the problem is the prayer doesn't really work. Prayers do sometimes appear to be answered, don't they? I mean, we can think of examples like that, but I'm not even completely sure that even then we can say 100% that it wouldn't have happened anyway, whatever that thing is that we've prayed for. C.S. Lewis talks about some of these difficult problems in his writings. I've got a book I recommend to you, actually. It's from all different writings by C.S. Lewis. And, you know, he talks about that notion, you know, can we really prove that whatever it was wasn't going to happen anyway when we think it is answered? It's a paper called The Efficacy of Prayer, and it's in a collection called The World's Last Night, that one. But C.S. Lewis, he's a smart guy. But either way, God clearly doesn't do everything we ask for, does he? Even the especially good things. So what is this? How does prayer work was the first question, wasn't it? What is it that makes the difference between, you know, when it kind of works or doesn't work? Is it just like a jackpot? Is it the luck of the draw? Is it God's will? Okay, we've thought about that a little bit already, but yes. Is it like God's a machine that kind of actually doesn't work that well? You know, like a computer. And we love it when it's working, but it crashes sometimes until we just give up on it. It's not worth using. Is that kind of, I'm trying to figure out why we don't pray. And is it around this question of it just not working? Is the problem that we just have to get the formula right? Maybe we're not praying properly. Now, if you were listening to Jim last week, you'll know that that's not the problem. But, you know, sometimes I think we go down this path. We think is it that we need to get the words right or the formula right or the posture right? You know, is that the trick? And I don't know. Any of you guys remember that prayer of Jabez thing from a few years ago? And things like that pop up every now and then. People saying, if you just pray this prayer in this way, this many times, with enough feeling or whatever, then God will bless you greatly. You just got to get the formula right. I mean, maybe that. How does prayer work? How does it work? Right now, clearly I'm not much help here. I'm not helping you so far, am I? No. Oh, dear. Have more faith. Yeah, that's it. Just got to, yeah, proper faith. Then it would happen. Yeah. I've got good news. You're not stuck with just me this morning. We've got the Bible. We've got Jesus himself teaching about some of these things. And in particular, that little section that Erica read earlier from Matthew 6. So we're asking this question, but we're going to see what Jesus has to say about it. Does prayer actually work? Does it work? Let's see what we can find out. First thing we find out, first couple of verses there, I'm going to say what we learn is the prayer, here we go, isn't what about what you can get out of it. Prayer isn't about what we can get out of it. That's not what prayer is for. That's not what it's about. Look at the first couple of verses there again. Think about what's going on there. So Jesus says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, verses 5 and 6, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward in full, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So how does prayer work? There's the answer, isn't it? Clearly, the Bible is teaching here that the way to make prayer work is to pray in private, to pray secretly. Is that what it's saying? That's what I'd say if I was teaching the Bible badly, because we've got a problem here, don't we? Because there are way too many other examples in Scripture where public prayer, praying together, is presented as a really positive thing, right? And just as I was thinking about this, my mind immediately went to the early church in Acts. So there's all that stuff, you know, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the community of believers, they devoted themselves to prayer. And I'm sure that didn't mean they all went off separately all the time, right? They devoted themselves to prayer. In chapter 4, verse 24, when Peter and John are released from prison, it actually says they raised their voices together in prayer, right? Obviously. And then again, when they appointed the seven, that story in chapter 6 of Acts, they appointed the seven to serve, right? The apostles prayed and laid their hands on them. They're doing this together, right? It's part of their life together. Seeking God, honoring God, looking for God to be at work amongst them. Chapter 12, verse 5, the church was earnestly praying to God for Peter when he was in prison. A little bit later in that chapter, the people are gathered and were praying for Peter, right? So obviously, there's just a little kind of thing from the beginning of Acts. It's a good thing to pray together in public in that sense. So what's going on here when he says to pray secretly, in private? Well, some context. Some of you may know. This is one part of what we often call the Sermon on the Mount, a block of teaching that started at the beginning of chapter 5 of Matthew. And there's a lot you can say about the Sermon on the Mount, but let's just go with the idea that this is Jesus teaching about life in the kingdom of God. Life in the kingdom of God. And now the Jews, of course, at this time, they're supposed to be God's people, aren't they? The Jews. So you'd think, if you want to know what life in the kingdom of God looks like, the people you should be able to look at to work that out would have been the Jews. And that's what people of the day would have thought, right? The Jews were people of Yahweh's people. And look at them. They show us how to do it, right? That's what they would have thought. And that's why it would have been pretty confronting. Actually quite shocking. When Jesus teaches about life in the kingdom through these chapters, basically by contrasting it with the way the Jews were doing it, the way the Jews were doing things. And that's what's going on here. Right, in verses 5 and 6, Jesus is setting up a clear contrast between how the Jews pray and how we should pray. Right, so, and what's the heart of the problem with the Jews when they pray? It's their hearts, isn't it? It's their hypocrisy, right? Their goal in praying isn't seeking God humbly. It's about earning brownie points with people. It's about looking respectful and spiritual and things like that, right? So, and Jesus is saying, status and things. Jesus is saying, sorry guys, that's actually not what prayer is about. Prayer isn't for earning brownie points with other people, right? And so when he tells them you've got to go and pray in a secret place, he's taking away their very reason for praying, isn't he? Because you're not going to earn brownie points if they don't know that you're doing it. See, prayer is a heart thing. Prayer is a heart thing. It's between you and it's between your Father in heaven, even when you're doing it together. So can you see the relevance for our question? How does prayer work? How does prayer work? See, when we ask that question, is it possible that what we really mean is, how does prayer work for me? Or at least, how does prayer work in terms of what I think it should achieve? Or in terms of my purposes or my desires or my ideas, at least, of what God should do. Prayer, it's not about what we should get out of it. That's not what prayer is about. That was the Jews' mistake. Let's not make it ours. Okay, maybe we're asking the wrong question when we ask, how does prayer work? We need to check our hearts. We need to check our hearts. So that'll be the first little bit of guidance here. Let's read on. What else does Jesus teach here? Verses 7 to 8, we learn prayer isn't a formula thing either. It's not a formula thing either. So verses 7 and 8. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So prayer isn't about babbling like pagans. Now, he's already told us that the Jews have it wrong. Now it's right, the pagans, the people who weren't Jews as well. They've got it wrong too, apparently. Now, what is it, do you think, about their babbling that's wrong? We know that he isn't saying, you know, you're not allowed to pray long prayers. He's not saying that because we know that Jesus went away for extended periods of time to pray to his Father. So it's not necessarily about the length of prayer. Apparently, again, a bit of context, prayer in the non-Jewish world at that time was often about, you know, it was about formal invocations or magical incantations. Again, it's this idea of getting those words right, getting the formula right to kind of convince the God to do what you want them to do. The focus was on getting that right far more than it was about, you know, heart, about attitude or intention. It's about formula. So Jesus is saying here, it's not about that. It's not about getting the formula right. Right, that'd be silly. For, as he says here, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. So we don't have to get the formula right for him to hear us, for it to get through. He knows what you need before you even ask him. And this, of course, the language, did you notice? It's the language of relationship. Your Father knows. Your Father knows. You know, when we pray, we are talking to the one who we can call Father. The Creator God is our Father, and he already knows what we need. Now, clearly our prayer problem, you know, in terms of it working, our prayer problem, it's not that we just need to get the formula right, is it? That's not what we need. Things like the prayer of Jabez or whatever else we might come up with, saying those right words, hitting on that formula, that is not the answer. That's a silly, it's an unhelpful way to think about prayer. And I was thinking about biblical examples of this, and my mind went to, you know, that story in 1 Kings 18, the one where Elijah kind of faces off against 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Do you know that story? I'm going to read a little bit of it to you because it's a pretty funky little story, and it's a good example of this. But in 1 Kings 18, they basically took turns, all you 450 prophets of Baal and one Elijah, right? And it's like, build a big altar, get all the wood ready and get a bull and prepare it to be sacrificed there on top of the kind of pile of wood, and then don't light it, you pray. Pray to your God or gods, in their case, kind of, little g gods, and see if, you know, you can get this thing to work. And you know how the story goes? So, like from verse 26, they called on the name of Baal. I love this. They called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Baal, answer us, they shouted, but there's no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar. That's worth a try, isn't it? They made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. It's not very nice of him, is it? Like they're trying pretty hard here. And he says, shout louder. Surely he is a god. Maybe he's deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears. Their blood flowed, right? They continued their frantic prophesying, but there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. There you are. But, you know, I mean, we look at that and we think, they are silly, aren't they? But You know, do we sometimes accidentally fall into that with God? We kind of, oh, you know, we just got to keep going. Or maybe he's not noticed our prayer. Maybe he's busy, you know. It's not a helpful way of thinking about prayer. When it was Elijah's turn, of course, he sets it all up. He's a bit of a show-off. He got four large jars of water poured all over it, and he did that three times until the trench around it was overflowing, right? And then he prayed at the time of the sacrifice, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel. I'm your servant. I've done these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you're turning their hearts back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell, burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell and cried out, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Okay. We don't need, right, it's a great story, but what it shows us, it's not about trying to get through to God. That's not our problem, is it? We don't have to try to get through to God or tell him something he doesn't already know. That's not what prayer is about. That's not what prayer is about. And that's actually really important for us to be very clear on at this point, because we're about to look at the Lord's Prayer. And I guess we need to understand, when he gives us what we know as the Lord's Prayer, he's not giving us, you know, the secret formula for prayer. That's not what it is. It's not a formula, but it is a pattern. It is a pattern. It's something that we can look at to see what prayer is all about. It's something we can look at to learn about prayer, to learn about what prayer should be like. And that's really good news, because so far we've learnt two things about what prayer isn't. I'm still not really helping you yet. What is prayer? What is prayer? It's time to get a couple of ideas about that. Now, we can spend a lot of time on the Lord's Prayer. Well, we're more than halfway through this sermon, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on the Lord's Prayer. We've already looked at it a couple of times. When Carolyn Altman comes in a couple of weeks, she's going to be opening it up with us again too. But I just want to highlight two key things that we learn about prayer from these verses now. And the first one is this: prayer is about God. Prayer is about God. We know this, but prayer is about God. Verses 9 and 10. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we want God's name to be hallowed. Funny word that, hallowed. We say it. What do we mean? Right? No, good. I'm glad that I can help you out with this one. Right. Actually, this is one of the ideas that Carolyn's going to pick up on in a couple of weeks, this idea of praying for God's name to be hallowed. Look, but when we talk about God's name, we're talking about God himself. We're talking about God. We're talking about who he is. Right? So we're saying we want these things of God. And by saying we want his name to be hallowed, right, we're saying we want to treat him as holy. That's all it means. And holy means set apart. We want to treat him as one who is set apart in reverence, as the special God that he is. We want him treated with the highest honor. That's what we're saying in terms of who he is. So like I said, we're going to come back to that idea with Carolyn. She's got ideas about how we can sit in that space for a while if we want to. And we want his kingdom to come. So prayer is about God. We want to praise his name, but we also want his kingdom to come. You might remember, that's the idea that we spent some time on last time I preached, actually, praying that his kingdom would come, that idea of yearning in our prayer for things to be like we know they should be, like God wants them to be, like they one day will be, like we get glimpses of already in Christ, but at the same time, this side of heaven, we see all the brokenness and our hearts cry out. So we pray for God's kingdom to come, that we would experience more of what he intends it to be. So that's praying for his kingdom to come on earth as in heaven. So what's prayer about? What's prayer about? It's about God. It's about praising and thanking him for who he is. It's about calling on him to bring about his good purposes in the world. Prayer is about God. However, prayer is also about us. It is about us too. Look at verses 11 to 13. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but when we've just been thinking about the nature of God, you know, this whole sense that that same God is interested in our needs. He's interested in you and me and even our daily needs. He invites us to ask him just for those basic things, like the food we need to eat, practical things. He's also interested in the big things, right, the spiritual things, because he knows what we really need, things like forgiveness, things like victory over sin. And so we see that reflected in these words that we're invited to pray to God. But it's amazing, don't you think? What a concept. What an amazing notion. We are talking here about the Creator God of the universe. He is sovereign. He is the King above all kings. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. He certainly doesn't need advice from us, right, on how to run the world or even on how to run our lives. He knows, doesn't he? He knows. And yet the awesome thing, the amazing thing, the thing which, you know, is hard to even understand, is that he invites us to participate somehow through prayer. And through our lives, he invites us somehow to be a part of his amazing work and unfolding good and loving purposes in the world. He allows us to make a difference somehow. God wants to hear from us. This is the heart of prayer. It's that invitation. And he does answer prayer. He does answer prayer. Now, how that all works out, it's a bit of a mystery. It's a bit of a mystery. But God is telling us here that he loves to hear from us. He invites us. He wants us to come to him in prayer. He loves to answer our prayers. He loves to include us in his good purposes and giving us what we need. I mean, it's only the very next chapter, and again, this one came up last week, but Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, where Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened, for everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened." And he talks about the goodness of God. If, you know, if your son asks for bread, would you give him a stone? That kind of notion. Well, of course God's going to want to give you good things, your Father in heaven, right? God does answer prayer. So what is prayer about? What is prayer about? I haven't given you a nice, neat answer to how it works. So what is prayer all about? Big question, isn't it? It's a big question. It's a journey, really. We haven't worked it all out. We've made a start, right? We've learnt that prayer is a heart thing. That's what it is. It's about our hearts. We've worked out that when we ask the question, how does prayer work? We've got to be careful we're not really asking, how does prayer work for me or according to what I think it should be doing, right? We've got to be careful we're not assuming that God should be taking advice from us. We've got to be careful of that, right? We've got to be careful we're not forgetting that God is a loving and all-knowing and all-powerful God who knows and who has shown us he desires what is best for us. He does. And we can trust him. We can trust him. Prayer is about God. This is what we've learned. It is an expression of our relationship with him. That's why we pray, because we're in a relationship with him. It's an expression of our dependence on him, on the one who is the mighty Creator God of the universe. That's what prayer is. And that relationship that is possible only because of his mercy and his grace to us in Jesus Christ. That's where prayer comes in. How awesome, how incredible that we can have a relationship with God. How amazing. How awesome that we can talk to him whenever we want. Right? The network never goes down. How awesome that we might take that for granted. How awesome that we can talk whenever we want. And if we have any sense at all, don't you think? If we have any sense at all, if we can grasp even a little bit the wonder of the gift of prayer and what it means, surely, surely we will be people who pray. Surely we will pray. Surely we will desire to pray. We will thirst for those times with God in prayer if we can have some sense. And as we do pray, maybe we'll get a surprise. Not in some mechanical way, but maybe we'll get a surprise as we see what God does. We might call it answered prayer in and through and around us as we are people of prayer. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. We've tried to hear from your words here just to grow in our sense of what it means to pray, the wonder of prayer, the gift and the miracle of prayer. Lord, we need you. Help us to know how much we need you. Help us to value this gift of prayer. Help us to be a praying people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.